Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 3. What we hear now is God's Word. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you also to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 42 and 43 in the back section. This is the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 31. We make it our regular practice to preach the Word of God as summarized in the Catechism in our morning sermons. And this morning we are up to the second half of Lord's Day 31. I will read the questions. You may respond with the answers for questions 83 and then 85. Question 83 from page 42. What are the keys of the kingdom? And then across the page to question 85, how is the kingdom of heaven closed and opened by Christian discipline? Well, last week we began talking about the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Remember, children, we talked about what keys do. Keys open and keys close. And we talked about how preaching is one of those keys of the kingdom. And how preaching, when the gospel is proclaimed, the gates of heaven are thrown wide open to all who repent, to all who believe. But when preaching of Christ is done and people persistently and deliberately reject that preaching, heaven itself is closed unto them. We talked about preaching as one of the keys of the kingdom. This morning, we talk in Lord's Day 31 about the other key of the kingdom of heaven. Preaching, we see every Lord's Day. We see it every Lord's Day morning, every Lord's Day evening. The other key of the kingdom we don't see happening as much. It doesn't mean it is less important. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be aware of it and committed to it. The other key of the kingdom of heaven is Christian discipline. A discipline exercised by the elders of the church in love and care for God's people. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Christian discipline unto repentance. Now, we've read from Hebrews chapter 12. And I recognize that Hebrews chapter 12 does not deal directly with the topic of Christian discipline unto repentance exercised by the elders. But it deals more generally with the topic of discipline. And I really think that's where we have to begin. Christian discipline is an application of that principle. But we live in a time where the whole idea of discipline is often repugnant to us. We don't like the idea of someone disciplining us. I don't know any child that says, "Oh, I love it when my father disciplines me." And that's the climate of our age. An anti-authoritarian climate. Who are you to come to me and tell me anything? And so the author of Hebrews reminds us that there is such a thing as discipline and that God does it for our own good. God does it as an expression of His love. And at times that expression comes through the office bearers of the church. It is a blessing to be under the discipline of our God and our Father. That's the glory of the key of the kingdom that we talk about today. We talk about discipline in the context of the correction of sin. We have to recognize that discipline comes to correct us. The author says, "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons?" We are to struggle against sin and struggle against our sinful nature. Now, we have talked about the fact that positionally we are righteous in Christ, but we still live here below. And we still struggle with the sinful desires and the temptations that Satan would engage us with. We have to recognize that struggle and continue in that struggle. Those internal sins, sins of greed, sins of envy, sins of lust, sins of anger. All too often, we give in to these rather than struggle against them. And the author reminds us we must struggle, we must work, we must fight against those sinful temptations that still come against us. When these internal sins, these internal temptations come, and God reminds us through His Word of the call to holiness and the call to righteousness, we must not close our ears to that, but rather remember the exhortation God is dealing with us as His children. In fact, for those internal sins, for those sins of the mind, those sins of the heart, that as long as they remain internal, God is the only one who can deal with us. Unless those sins manifest themselves externally in some way, general discipline or Christian discipline will not be applied. The elders cannot read your hearts. But God can. He knows what's inside. He knows our thoughts, our minds, our struggles, what we think about, what we choose to focus on. And if these are things that would take us away from the glory of God and honoring Him, and He comes and he pricks our conscience by the power of His Spirit, do not neglect that internal discipline given to us by God in our struggle against sin. Sometimes those sins manifest themselves in an outward way. We are angry. We speak harshly with a friend. And yet, in the age that we live in, sin is so often excused. That's just the way I am. It's a character flaw I have. Oh, it's something I probably should work on someday. But the author reminds us, no, don't excuse sin. That's the way of the world. The world excuses sin. It rationalizes sin. It makes sin acceptable. But not for the believer. The believer receives discipline as that which is to correct him, to guide and direct them, to bring them back to the path of righteousness that God has laid out for His children. When those sins manifest themselves externally, and they do become a public nature, then the church, through its office bearers, will step in. The elders with the love of Christ will come and try to bring reconciliation to correct the sinful problems going on. And that's what we mean by church discipline, children. When the elders in love come and speak with us to bring us back to the path of God. The elders do that based on the Word of God, not their own particular preference of how you should live, of what you should do. The elders don't come in their own right, but they come with the authority of Christ to exercise the keys of the kingdom. We talked last week about the difference between speaking the truth and speaking the truth with authority. And all of us are called to speak the truth. But when the minister opens the Word of God, he declares that truth with authority. The same is true for discipline. If we are living in a way that is a violation of God's law, and a friend comes and encourages us, we should listen to that. They're speaking truthfully. But when the elders of the church come, they don't come simply as men to give us their opinion. But they come as those ordained by Christ to minister His love and His care and His discipline for His children. When the elders come, they come with authority. And we have to hear those words, hear what they say to us. Because when the elders come and speak to us, children, and they call us back to the ways of righteousness, and they come with the authority of Christ, it's like Jesus talking to you. It's like Jesus saying, "This is what I have called you to do. This is what I have called you to be." He speaks to us through the office of the eldership to correct us, to direct us, to bring us back to the paths of righteousness. Discipline is not a negative thing. It is a blessing for the believer. Discipline recognizes a relationship that we do have with God. The author goes on. He says, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons." What a blessing to be treated as sons and daughters of God. When God disciplines us, it recognizes a relationship that exists. For the author says, "For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" We fathers want the best for our children. We want the best for our sons and daughters. And we will, because of that great love for them, because of the relationship we have, we will discipline them as they're growing up. It recognizes the relationship of father to son, parent to child. And the author uses that analogy of God's relationship to us. When God comes to discipline us, He does it because He is our Father, because we have a relationship with Him. Listen to his argument in verse 8. if you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. The author says, if you are living in a way that is contrary to the law of God, and He doesn't come to discipline you, and He doesn't come to call you back, you should be very afraid. God disciplines those He loves. God disciplines His sons and daughters. But if you, through time, have hardened your conscience, no longer hear the call of the Father, then perhaps He is not your Father. And you have every reason to be afraid. Our confession talks about discipline opening and closing heaven. If anyone, though called a Christian, professes unchristian teaching or lives an unchristian life, and if after repeated brotherly counsel refuses to abandon his errors and wickedness, and after being reported to the church, he fails to respond, such a one the officers exclude from Christian fellowship, and God Himself excludes from the kingdom of Christ. If we are not disciplined, and every son and daughter undergoes discipline, perhaps, the author warns, we are illegitimate children, not real sons and daughters of God. The warning given to us, not to persistently, deliberately harden our conscience to the call of God, not to persistently, deliberately harden our minds for the work of the Spirit, but to submit as children, recognizing God the Father is instructing us, God the Father is calling us back to the paths of righteousness. Verse 9 says, besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Discipline breeds respect. Those who don't discipline us, we tend not to respect as much. But those who discipline us, who care for us, who love us, we will have respect for them. Sometimes whether we want to or not, we will respect them. We think about that when we're driving along the road and we're exceeding the speed limit and going along just fine. And suddenly we see those red and blue lights in our rearview mirror. And a certain sense of respect wells up for the law at that point. And we quickly begin to conform to the law given to us. Discipline brings respect. Respect for the law. Respect for God. We have had fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. How much more the Father of our spirits? And not just respect Him, but live in Him. Live according to His law. Live according to His instruction. Once again this morning, we read the law of God. And I know that in worship, it is easy for us at that point to say, well, I've heard this all before. I've heard this a million times. I've heard this since I was this high in church. But it is the law of God we are reading. Not simply some good advice. When that law is read publicly in our presence, we must respect that, listen to it, be attentive to it. It's God's path of righteousness. It's the way He's called us to live as a father trains his children. God trains us through the law to teach us how to show Him our love and devotion. That relationship, I guess, comes back to the idea of God's love for us, as all discipline does. Again, verse 5, have you forgotten the exhortation he addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved, for the Lord disciplines the one He loves. We often think of discipline as an exercise of anger. And we as parents have to admit, perhaps at times we have disciplined in anger. We must repent of that. But the reason we discipline is because we love our children so much. The reason we discipline is so that they can grow so that they can be strong in who they are. When they're little, we will, when they reach out to touch a hot stove, slap their hands. Children, mom and dad do that. It's not because they don't love you. It's because they do love you. And they care about you. And they want you to grow and be strong. We warn our children about the dangers in life. We punish them when they break the rules. Not because we don't care about them, but because we do care about them. And the same is true with God for us. God is not an oppressive father. A father who wants to keep us from having fun. But God is a father who loves us. Who cares for us. Who knows us even better than we know ourselves. He knows what we need. And so at times He will in love come and discipline His people. And when God calls the elders of the church to bring discipline to His people, it is also motivated by love. The elders don't come in anger. Church discipline is never done to put people out of the church. It is always done to restore them to the church. That's the intent. That's the purpose. To bring them back. We don't want to drive people away. We want them restored to the fellowship of the people of God. Restored to God Himself. To have that relationship once again rebuilt. Discipline is a blessing for the people of God. That's one of the reasons it's so important to be a member of a local congregation. We discipline those we have a relationship with. We don't discipline non-members of the church. But it's important to be a member, to be under the oversight of the elders. To have them love you and care about you enough that they will come and call you back to obedience. I was talking with someone this past week about what to look for in a Christian church. And we talked about the marks of the church, preaching and sacraments and discipline. And I said, it's important when you're considering joining a congregation to talk to the elders and to ask them this question. Will you love me enough to discipline me if I start to go awry? Ask the elders that question. And unless they say, yes, we will love you enough, that is not the church for you. I've had the great privilege of working with our elders for a couple of years now. And I can assure you, people of God, they love you. And they will continue to love you. Enough that if you should become delinquent either in doctrine or in life, you can expect they will come in love and talk with you and try to bring you back and restore the relationship. Christian discipline is a blessing for the people of God. And it's given to us to help us in our walk with God, to strengthen us in our lives. That's where the author finishes. Verse 10, about our fathers. For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But He, God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. God disciplines us that we might share in His holiness. Now, we don't think about holiness a lot. We like to think in terms of happiness. What will make me happy? But happiness often seems so connected with what we have, with the stuff around us. The author doesn't talk about happiness, he talks about holiness. God disciplines us for holiness. That's not what we have, it is who we are. Children of God. Those who have a relationship with Him. The author says, verse 14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Now we know that in ourselves we can never be holy enough to see God. But we have had one who has come in our place to secure our holiness, to secure our status with God. We have Jesus Christ who has come as the one who would die on the cross for our sins, for our fallenness. to give us that relationship that we might be strengthened by God Himself. Romans said, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The beauty of what God has done. He has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile the relationship. And now He continues to work in us, to work with us, to lead us in the paths of holiness. Verse 11, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Discipline happens over time. God continues to work with His people. He continues to instruct. He continues to call. God is a patient Father. He is a loving Father. He does not shut the door on us. God continues the call to holiness, the call to righteousness. Because we have been saved by Jesus Christ, because He has secured the relationship that we are sons and daughters, God will continue to strengthen His people, to work in their lives, calling them back to the ways of righteousness. Discipline does not seem pleasant at the time. No one enjoys being disciplined. But our fathers did it that we might grow up. God does it that it might yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. God calls us this morning once again through His Word to discipline ourselves according to that Word. When we hear from God, when we live according to His standards, then church discipline might never take place in our lives. But when we reject, when we go our own way, God is not through with us. He loves us enough to seek us out. He will send His office bearers to come and speak to us and bring us back. We as His people must heed the discipline of our God. Whether it comes this morning to the preaching of the Word, the call to holy living because of Christ, or whether in God's providence the elders come and speak, to call us back to His ways. Receive Christian discipline, people of God. He is treating you not as illegitimate children. God treats you as His sons and daughters. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, great Father in heaven, how we thank You for the blessings You give to us. The blessing of Your Word. A Word that speaks to us Lord's Day after Lord's Day of Your love and mercy shown us in Jesus Christ. And the blessing of Christian discipline. That You love us enough, You care about us enough, that You will call us back to Your ways. Well, Lord God, open our ears to be attentive. If we this morning have been negligent in hearing Your call, perhaps this morning our hearts and consciences have been pricked by Your Word. May we not turn a deaf ear, but rather fall on our knees before You, confessing our sin and returning to the righteous life You have called us to. Restore us, O God, and make us holy because of Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer for His sake. Amen.